Hey, this is Glenn. Welcome to another episode of Difficult Questions. This one, who gets to immigrate when? There are a lot of heated debates on immigration, especially our southern border, and who gets to come in and what is legal and who gets asylum and why, and are there too many people? And I just want to back up a little bit, and I want to look at how this affects you personally, because I think we kind of borrow outrage in this country, because in our country it is relatively stable. And I used to say, I read a book called The Herring of Mozambique, and the average age of death for a man in Mozambique during the revolution was 37, because they would die by the machete. So I would always say, not enough people in our country are getting chased by men with machetes, and we have to borrow outrage in order to feel something. I kind of look at immigration from a personal standpoint and how it's affected me, how it's been around me. And I encourage you to look at that personal standpoint for you too, because looking at it as something like the zombies are coming in or the criminals are coming in gets us, I think, nowhere other than feeling something. And I wonder if you can feel something else, little closer to you. Or if it is closer to you, please let people know what exactly your experiences have been. I grew up, I've said this before, in South Sacramento in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which was a highly diverse community. A lot of people immigrated from the U.S., from a lot of different places, a lot of different Asian countries, Indian, Russian, Hispanic. And so I grew up with immigration just as part of me. I never knew what I was going to get into when I went to someone's house. Everything was a new experience, and I got comfortable being uncomfortable, not knowing what culture, what traditions, what foods were at every house I went to. And that, as a kid growing up, again, my parents were both teachers. We were stable. We made enough money. That's another thing that the United States offers people, is conceivably you make enough money to live. However, we have invested our way out of shelter. That's why we have so much homelessness now. So it's less stable than it was in the 70s, but still more stable than other countries, and more opportunity to be stable for yourself and your family to earn enough money. So it was all good for me growing up as a kid with all this immigration, with all of these people from different cultures and different languages, and with different ideas about education, coming with different education, coming with a different skill set. I had a lot of friends that had parents that were really hard on them about going to school, because they understood what it was like to not have education where they came from. I now know two people that were children of parents who escaped the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. So both of those people, in their bones, understand the stability and the opportunity that this country can offer. Where I think sometimes if you're born here, you don't, and you've never experienced an immigrant story, you don't even appreciate the stability that this country can offer. This country is not perfect, and I'm not here to even say it's perfect. This country is about what you could get for yourself and for others. We just happen to have we have exploited other countries to the point where we can make a better living for ourselves, getting whatever we can for ourselves and our family. And that doesn't necessarily have to do with violent crime, chasing each other with machetes. But we all love the dollar here. The American dream is getting rich, scaling a passive income, earning money for doing nothing. Yet we also say that we expect our immigrants to work hard, or we expect our lower paying people to work hard. I was with someone who was of Mexican immigrant families, and her father was part of the United Farm Workers movement in the 70s. So all of the farm workers in California, a lot of them are immigrants because they're cheap labor. Now, whose fault is that? Is that the fault of the immigrants wanting to just work and having even cheap labor in the United States being more than what they could get in their home country? Or is that the fault of U.S. citizen farm owners exploiting workers and paying them less than they should be? So he was part of that scene, and his parents were from Mexico, but had immigrated legally and had owned they owned a farm in Central California, a small farm in Central California. But he had this farm worker background, and he talked about picking lettuce and how physically demanding that was, and how he realized that that was a young man's game and his body was going to break down. So he had to find something else. And again, that's an honest day's work, right? For an honest day's pay, he's using his back, but you can only use your back for so long before it breaks down. So we in the United States look to scale our income and do and earn money off of things that we've already done, or use our minds and get paid for that, working with money rather than working with our hands. Because working with our hands, for some reason, is seen as a lower type of work. We're kind of seeing a reverse of that just out of demand, because now we have all these middle class, educated, white collar jobs, and there's a glut of people with those skill sets. So the salaries are going down, but we don't have a lot of construction workers, or we don't have a lot of people in the trades anymore because everyone was so told to go to college. So no one wants to work with their hands, but now the people that work with their hands can make more money working than working with their mind, or working at a desk, or working at a computer. So that's the American dream. And immigrants afford us the opportunity. At the same time, in the United States, everybody will take your money, to include insurance. The whole business model of insurance is to get paid to do nothing, right? So even what I found, I've been hit by distracted drivers multiple times in my life. But in 2005, I had this really severe accident, broke my leg and hip, had to relearn how to walk. A Dodge Durango pulled out in front of me, in front of my lane, and I slammed into them. Well, the driver of that Dodge Durango turned out to be an immigrant. Now, he was officially insured with the appropriate amount of insurance for California law. So he was doing legal things to be a legal driver, but he was underinsured for the damage he did to me. And I was struggling getting back on my feet, literally. And I ended up I needed to sue him. And I started the lawsuit process, and I got to a certain point where insurance, his insurance would pay, not pay me for the damage that he did to me because he was underinsured, but legally underinsured, but they would pay for an attorney when I sued him, which again, priorities. The insurance company, their priority was to defend their pot of money. And they were willing to put an attorney into that to not pay me because they don't want to pay anybody. So this attorney tells me, look, if we take this to court, most likely my client will get deported, but I will make sure that the police report does not get submitted to the court. I'll get it thrown out and you will get nothing. So we had to settle. And it was something like I settled for, I ended up with my health insurance, I had to pay something like out of pocket $40,000 plus all of the damage that he'd done to me and struggling to get back to work and trying to work and rehabilitate. He owed me a lot of money, but he didn't have that money. So I had to negotiate with his attorney that he paid me something like $5,000, $100 a month until that was paid off, because he was poor. He was struggling. He had a child with disabilities, the sob story, whatever it was. And I was so angry. Now, this is how angry I was. And I understand anger, right? I am not walking correctly. And this attorney is telling me that he's going to get the police report thrown out, even though the guy clearly admitted full fault. And they're going to pay me $5,000. I am on the hook to pay my own medical bills back. The cut that I'm responsible for is $40,000. And this guy's only giving me $5,000, no pain and suffering. I'm fighting through. I've lost work. And I'm mad. And I say to the partner I'm with, I said, and she's of Mexican descent, and this guy was south of the border. Don't know if he was Mexican. I said, I don't care if this guy makes me tacos for the rest of his life. He's going to pay me something. And I was just angry. Why does it need to be tacos? Because I know he's Hispanic and I'm angry. And the person I'm with says, that's completely racist. And I stopped and I thought, you're right. I'm racist out of anger. And I think a lot of times we get to that point. We borrow this rage or we have this anger. What unsettles us about people from another country? Is it their language? Is it their culture? Is it their skill set? Is it their education? We do this thing in the United States where I call it freedom equals neglect. And we bring people in and we say, go for it. But we don't give people support. And then we yell about, well, we don't want to pay for taxes to support these people while they're new to our country. And I think that's kind of not good, because I'll tell you an example. I was watching a video about Sweden, and Sweden is a kind of a monoculture, but at one point they got into this whole idea that we're going to accept refugees. The problem is they accepted refugees and then they put them in public housing away from the other culture. So now you have these refugees with their refugee background and their refugee understanding of life, and then you separate them from the people that invited them to the country. And we kind of do that somewhat self-segregation, somewhat monetary segregation. Oh, you can't afford to live in Beverly Hills. You got to live in Koreatown. Koreatown is historically where the Koreans were. Or Little Tokyo, or Little Armenia, right? And we separate each other. And in that, you build kind of this distrust, this way of living life that is different from each other. And there's that idea of, well, how much assimilation should a person get and how much multiculturalism should we allow? And for us, we tend to not want to do anything and we don't want to pay for these people. But we do subsidize other things that are good for us in this country. We subsidize farm workers because we want the food. The government pays Elon Musk lots of money to blow up rockets for inspiration? I don't know. So we have the money. We're a rich country. We just choose to put it in different places. And I would argue that some assimilation, making people feel welcome into the community, is the trick to not have the fear of the criminal immigrant, the immigrant that is going to take advantage and commit crime and violent crime or be a dirge on society. I have met people from other countries and met people that are born in this country. I have met people that have a what I would call a moral compass that is aligned with mine. And then I have met criminals, people with a criminal mind. And it really has to do with their opportunities and what they see is possible for them and their ability for education and for options and for skills. So I don't think that it's like this situation of Cuba in the 70s, the whole Scarface scenario where Fidel Castro is putting all of the prisoners on a boat to send them to Miami. That's not, sure, that happens, but I don't think that's our outrage and concern. I think our concern is if we allow people in, and I understand we have to balance those economies, how much support, where, who. But I would argue to take the outrage away from it, take the fear away from it. Every other country does have control on their immigration. I knew a guy when I was growing up, he wanted to go to New Zealand, but New Zealand told him they had enough lawyers because he was a lawyer. And they said, any other trade, that maybe, but we have enough lawyers. So I know other countries say no. Maybe we're allowed to say no because you have this idea of a balance, but especially our country is all about imbalance. It's all about what you can get. There's a lot of money out there. We're a rich country. And a lot of me just wants to say, go for it. Come on, let's make the best at it. And I know that's chaotic and I know that it's not practical, but it's also, I've been demolished by natural born American citizens driving a car and I've been demolished by immigrants driving a car. And I know that them being an immigrant had nothing to do with it. So what do you think? What are your thoughts about immigration? Who gets to immigrate when? And does it need to be legal? Because for me, when someone says legal, laws are set up for the advantaged to keep their advantage. And I get it. Once you figure out your way of making money, your way of life, you want it to succeed. You don't want anybody else coming in. So you set up laws. But especially with low-wage workers and are wanting to have these people that are willing to do these jobs that we as natural-born citizens aren't willing to do, do we cut that off? Do we say you cannot come into this United States? And then do we just pay higher prices for everything? Because if our natural born people are going to take those jobs, those entry level positions with no skill, no education, just trying to get by, we're going to have to pay them more. Because they're not going to work for as little as the immigrant who came from nothing will come with. And those immigrants also come with families that support them because they know the family unit is their stability. Where we in the United States haven't really, we've forgotten that. We've become so rich that we kick our kids out at 18 to go make their own, which has other problems. I think that what immigrants give us is this ability to understand how family still works. And I think it gives us this opportunity to understand how supporting your children is important, because I think the United States has kind of gotten away from those two things. And I think that's what immigrants can offer us, is this knowledge that family stability and taking care of the people that we brought into this world is the crux of success. I don't know. What do you think? Who should be allowed to immigrate here and when? Thanks.